Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading There's People in the Basement by Mr. Outlaw. This is from Reddit, and I hope you enjoy this story. Let me know if you do, or if you absolutely hated it, either or. Let's get started. Hey man, I don't know how to tell you this, but there's people in the basement. Chris's words were in between silence and a whisper. I sat up in the bed, my eyes adjusting to the frantic figure in front of me.
What?
I asked him.
What are you talking about?
Be quiet, dude, he whispered. There's people in the basement, like six of them, I swear to God.
He paused, taking a few deep breaths.
We should get the hell out of here.
I rubbed my eyes, trying to get the fatigue to settle so I could comprehend the magnitude of what he was saying. For context, my friends and I had booked an Airbnb near the mountains for the weekend. Hike and then drink, get our minds off of work and school. I'd been super tired after hiking, so I'd taken a nap. I shook my head.
You went down into the basement? I asked. We weren't supposed to, they told us not to.
Yeah, dude, I know,
Chris continued.
But I did it anyway, and I saw people down there, and we need to leave ASAP.
What kind of people? I asked, pretty much fully awake now.
You mean the owners of this place? They came back?
Chris shook his head.
No, not them. Weird-looking people. Creepy-ass people.
I sat up, thinking that maybe Chris had taken some of the LSD we'd been saving for the next day.
Dude, relax,
I told him.
Explain exactly what you saw.
He laid it out pretty concisely. Despite the fact that the people who had posted the listing had explicitly told us not to go down there, Chris had gotten drunk, gotten curious, and went down there. To his surprise, the door had been unlocked. He couldn't find the light switch, but there was just enough of it coming through the windows for him to be able to make his way down the stairs. Arriving at the bottom, he allowed his eyes just a few seconds to adjust, and right in front of him, he could see a small table with about six people sitting around it, their outlines illustrated by the afternoon light. At first, his brain rationalized it as large dolls or puppets that had been placed there, but he continued looking at them, and eventually, one of them turned their heads to face him. He didn't stick around after that and shot up the stairs, shutting the door behind him. As he told me this, I kind of didn't want to believe him, but there was absolutely no reason why he'd be lying. He just wasn't that type of guy. Coupled with the genuine terror on his face, I began leaning towards the idea that he was telling the truth, and that there were actually a bunch of people sitting silent at a table in the darkness of the basement. I got up and looked out the bedroom window, seeing Jay and Paul standing on the front porch grilling burgers. Then I looked back at Chris.
If you're telling the truth, we need to call the people who own the place.
I tried, he said. They didn't pick up. I've sent them texts as well.
I shook my head.
So, what? You think they're dangerous? Should we call the cops?
Chris shrugged.
I don't know, he said. I don't know if they're dangerous. But they are, as the hell didn't look right, and I want to get out of here.
For a while, we stared at each other, the general silence of the house becoming progressively more ominous. After a while, I sighed.
Yeah, well, let's get out of here.
We grabbed our phones, wallets, the car keys, and moved down the stairs, out of the house as fast as we could. Jay and Paul were laughing, holding beers as we approached them. Paul turned around, pointing a greasy spatula towards us.
You guys hungry or what? He asked.
Chris began telling them what he'd seen, but it was obvious that they were more than a few drinks deep and not taking anything he was saying seriously.
Dude, it sounds like you're tripping, Jay said. Are you sure you're not tripping?
I'm being serious, Chris said. I swear to God, I'm serious. We need to get out of here now.
Well, I'm about five beers in, so I ain't driving, Jay said. And I sure as hell ain't letting any of you drive my truck either. Are you sure you just weren't seeing stuff?
Fine, I'm walking then, Chris said. I'm not staying here.
Look, I'll go down there and talk to them, Paul said, half joking. See what the hell they want.
Jay laughed as sheer disbelief washed over Chris's face.
I'm not bullcrapping, man, he said.
I'm not. Yeah, I believe you, Paul said dismissively. I'll go and see what's up.
Chris continued to protest, but Paul wouldn't budge, and as soon as he was inside the house, making his way towards the basement, Chris shook his head, his eyes wide, nearly bulging out of his head at this point.
"Ah, screw this!" he yelled, seeming to grow more agitated by the second. "I warned you!"
Before we could say anything else, he bolted, sprinting like a bat out of hell towards the woods. We tried chasing after him, but couldn't come close to matching his pace. We stopped, panting for air as we watched him disappear into the trees.
"What the hell?" Jay asked. "Is he being serious? I thought it was a joke."
I shook my head. "Let's go check on Paul." We ran back to the house, entering to see the basement door wide open. The place was completely silent, but before I could call out, I could hear somebody moving up the stairs. I backed up, unsure of what to expect, how to react, when Paul came out of the darkness, looking somewhat bewildered. He looked at us, shook his head. "This is freaky, man," he said.
"Was he being for real?" Jay asked. "There's people down there?"
"Not exactly." The three of us went down there, with my nerves yet to be completely settled. We couldn't find a light switch, but there were enough windows and enough daylight for us to move around. Turns out, Chris hadn't been totally correct, but he probably hadn't been lying either. Planted right in front of the stairs was a table with three chairs. Sitting in those three chairs were some of the most lifelike sculptures I'd ever seen. Two soldiers in what appeared to be old military outfits, and a woman in some kind of long religious dress. They weren't quite enough to be uncanny. If you looked at them for more than a few seconds, you could tell that they were carved from stone and then meticulously painted, something you could confirm by touching them. Still, they were exceptionally crafted, something that could have only been achieved by a dedicated professional.
I don't blame them, Paul said, referring to Chris. I almost shat bricks when I first saw him. I mean, what the hell?
I remembered back to the conversation I had had with him, how he'd claimed that one of them had actually looked at him, and then a shiver ran down my spine. Jay laughed, a palpable relief in his voice.
How much do you think we could sell these for?
I'm down to take them and find out, Paul joked.
On the surface, it made enough sense. The homeowners were in possession of some very valuable items that they stored in the basement, simply forgetting to lock it this time around. Jay and Paul continued looking at them, taking pictures and marveling at how weird it all was. On the other hand, I wasn't so keen on doing so. I wanted to get the hell out of the basement ASAP. The details just weren't adding up. I knew Chris well. If the only thing he had seen had been these statues, he would have not reacted the way he did. Jay was looking at his phone, smiling at the pictures he'd taken, when suddenly his expression dropped. He put his phone down and looked ahead.
"There's another one over there," he said, "in the corner."
"Whoa, what do you mean?"
Paul asked, looking closely at one of the soldiers' rifles.
"Another statue in the corner."
Paul looked up and looked towards where Jay was pointing.
"Oh,"
he said.
"Yeah,
I see." The two of them continued to look at it, but showed no indication of wanting to explore it. Instead, they stood still, their expressions slowly being taken over by a look of deep unease. Eventually, I looked as well. It did appear to be a statue, something tucked away in one of the very dark corners. It was tall, extremely so, maybe 7 feet, its head well eclipsing the top of one of the bookshelves. Its bottom half was completely obscured, but from what the light was revealing, it was wearing some kind of helmet, like one of those steel ones soldiers were equipped with back in World War I. There came a point as my eyes were adjusting to the darkness, where a pit began to form in my stomach. Its features were slowly revealing themselves, and it almost looked as if it were twitching. I thought that maybe it was just the darkness playing tricks, until I saw it blink. Clear as day, it blinked. I guess the other two saw the same thing because we were practically trampling each other running up the stairs. We slammed the door shut behind us before quickly pushing one of the couches in front of it. Paul and I were halfway out the front door, but Jay was still inside the house.
"What the hell are you doing?" Paul yelled at him. "Come on!"
"I need my laptop," Jay said, before throwing Paul his keys.
"I'll be quick. Start the truck."
We ran up the stairs while Paul continued to curse at him.
"Really, dude? Are you serious?"
And then I remembered my own laptop, thinking about how annoying it would be if I were to lose it.
I looked at the basement door, then at the stairs, then at Paul. It's gonna take 5 seconds, I said. I could hear him cursing behind me as I ran, jumping 3 steps at a time until I reached my room, darting in and grabbing my laptop from the desk. As I rushed out of there, I saw that the door to Jay's room was shut. I stopped, slowed my breathing. I was almost certain that he hadn't gone back downstairs. I would have seen or heard him. I approached the door. Jay? I asked. What the hell are you doing? No response. I looked at the door, but every muscle was frozen, almost as if my body were warning me not to go in. Suddenly, it creaked open just slightly and I jumped back. Jay? I asked. Still no response. I couldn't see anything through the crack until my eyes drifted upwards near the ceiling. A pair of eyes looking down at me. Large eyes set too far apart on a face with skin that was too pale. I turned and bolted back downstairs as I heard the door swing open the rest of the way. Of course, I didn't look back and ran outside and jumped into the passenger seat of the truck. Where is he? Paul asked. Just drive, I told him. He didn't protest and stepped on the gas, ripping down the dirt road. We continued driving until we reached a rest stop, the first place with other people. By that point, we had both called and messaged the homeowners about a dozen times each. Nothing but radio silence on the other end. We even noticed that the listing itself had been removed from Airbnb entirely. And then we called the police. Somebody answered and I explained the situation as in depth as I could. The operator listened without interrupting, waited a few seconds and then asked me for the address. I told it to her. Another bout of silence elapsed before she hung up. After arriving back in the city, we considered reporting it again, but neither of us felt the nerve to do so. We also haven't heard from Chris. We've gone to his apartment and knocked on his door, but nobody answers. I tried to do some research on the place, Googling the cabin's address. One result came up, a website that appeared to consist solely of an album of black and white images of soldiers standing in various places, with dates and addresses written beneath them in small text. I control-F'd and found the address I was looking for. The accompanying photo was of a tall soldier, holding a blood-stained hatchet and standing in a clearing surrounded by trees, with the outline of a cabin behind him. The man's skin was pale, his eyes oddly large and set so wide apart that it just didn't look right. There were also 2 dates attached to it, August 17, 1915, and the date that we had first arrived at the cabin. It's been about a week removed from the incident, and Paul and I have both made a mutual decision to drop it, to try to go back to our ordinary lives. But it's been difficult. I keep expecting to receive a phone call from the cops, asking me questions about Chris and Jay, where I'd last seen them. Those guys have family. They probably knew where they were headed and who they'd gone with, and yet nobody's reaching out. It doesn't feel like we're out of the clear here. It doesn't feel like this is over at all. And that's the end of this little story. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know if you did in the comments below or wherever you are. I appreciate you for listening. If you'd like to support this channel, you can do so by subscribing, whether you're on YouTube or maybe by following if you're on Spotify. If you'd like to do a little bit more, there is a Patreon available. But those are just some options for you. Listen, I appreciate you for listening. Thank you for binging this and all of my episodes. Thank you for sending it to every single family member that you have and friend, and ask them to like and subscribe. Thank you for listening. See you later.